So how can we use stories to achieve hypnotic outcomes? Well, a story can achieve many different things. One of the basic uses of a story is to simply seed ideas or set frameworks of ideas. We'll talk about setting frames more fully on another CD. And of course, we've already covered the idea of seeding suggestions or themes in the earlier CDs. A very powerful way to use stories is to use trance themes in order to get people lulled into trances. So if you think back to CD 5 on emotional triggers, remember that we use trance themes, which are stories about processes which are hypnotic, in order to guide people into a state of hypnosis. So a simple way to use stories might be to talk about trance themes like relaxing on a holiday, being fascinated by a film, waiting in suspense for an animal to turn up on a safari. All these things are hypnotic components. You can also seed ideas and just tell any old story about any old thing, only to make sure you embed your suggestions. A famous example of this is Milton Erickson's tomato plant induction. He used this with a patient who was dying of cancer. Now, this man was in great pain and nothing worked, no drugs, no anything. But he was a very independent man, so he couldn't be very direct about the use of hypnosis. So when he went in, Erickson knew that this man was a florist and loved flowers. So he decided to talk to him about a similar hobby of his, which was growing tomato plants. Now, the theme itself was innocent enough because it would be something that would interest the patient. The interesting thing, however, was the way he talked about tomato plants was he was embedding all kinds of suggestions about hope for the future, peace of mind, easing of pain, suffering disappearing, time changing, better times coming. And all these things were embedded inside what seemed like an almost innocent monologue about how a tomato plant grows. Another way to use stories is known as an isomorphic story. Isomorphic stands for the same shape as something else. So an isomorphic metaphor is one in which the characters and the actions and the sequence inside the story mirror something happening with the person that you're working with. In a therapeutic sense, for example, it might be that the characters inside the story are all having a fight, and that the family in front of you are all fighting in similar ways. The thing about isomorphic metaphors is that they must first of all mirror the situation that the person is actually encountering or will be encountering, and at the same time, it must offer some kind of resolution or some plan of action. The important thing, of course, because this is a story, is you cannot make it obvious enough that the conscious mind understands why you're telling the story. The moment you include the conscious mind, they go, oh, I know why he's saying this, and it's much easier for them to reject the material out of hand. So the power of isomorphic stories is that people go away and think about it and find their own meaning. And of course, the unconscious will be doing that in particular ways. Another way to use stories is to pre-teach materials or to prime the unconscious mind to respond in certain ways. Now, this isn't just for teachers who want to make their students into better learners or format the unconscious mind to learn something before they teach it. This also works in many different environments. For example, in competitive sports, this idea of psyching out your opponent is in many ways telling stories in which you are a champion, because it sets the idea in the other person's mind that you will win the encounter, you will win the match. A famous example of this is Muhammad Ali, who would always tell these stories about when the person would go down and how they would go down, etc. And these stories would leave pictures and impressions inside the mind that the unconscious level other people started to respond to. Now, of course, that wasn't the only thing that won the fights, but it was an important part of the mind games that he played as a sportsman. Stories are also tremendous vehicles for creating belief in something, a product, or for a salesperson to get people enthused about something. It's a classic use in a sales tool when you use a testimonial, for example, or tell someone about how happy someone else was when they bought something. Why? Because you're transporting your listener into being a happy buyer. And of course, once they're already a happy buyer inside their mind, it's a very small step into them being a happy buyer in real life. But talking about other customers can do more than just motivate someone to like the product or put themselves in the seat where they've bought it. One of the things you can do is actually install a strategy or a process in someone's mind by which they will make the decision to buy something. For example, a car salesman can tell all kinds of funny and amusing stories about people who have come into his warehouse, all the time setting a pattern inside the mind, along the lines of looking at the car, seeing the polish, enjoying the quality of it, sitting inside the car and really feeling good, then projecting themselves to actually having the car and how excited the neighbors will be, and then actually coming over to the paperwork, talking them through the paperwork and the different things they've got to fill out so it doesn't become such a big thing. Remember, this is pre-teaching again. And finally, buying the car and coming back and telling everyone how happy he was. A story along those lines, or several stories that put those elements in a sequence, are going to allow the other person to have the experience inside their own neurology without you telling them, okay, this is how you're going to buy this car. Because remember, you're talking about other people. If you talk about other people and the experiences they've had, well, how could they ever resist? Because they can't resist someone else's experience, can they? So there's a quick checklist of how to use stories. Use them to rift around a hypnotic theme. Use them to install a process or a strategy in someone's mind. Use them as a vessel for ambiguities and embedded suggestions. And finally, you can use them to elicit states, set emotional triggers, and chain these into a sequence that has specific kinds of outcomes.